seated. Thank you, Carrie. That was great. And just be mindful of that last song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. So, I hope everyone's having a great week and enjoying their summer, such as is left of it. Because I am enjoying mine, such is as left of it. The teachers are sitting there counting the few weeks that are left. So, we are now into Follow Me, an introduction to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We've already covered our introduction to the introduction. And now we will be diving headlong into the infancy narrative. We're going to be taking this brief time and doing this material that's unique to Matthew. We'll get into that more, obviously, in the rest of this session. Then next week we're going to do the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the Sermon on the Mount. Then the following week we're not going to talk about the Transfiguration. We're going to celebrate the Transfiguration on the Feast of the Transfiguration because that's the day it falls. We're going to have a Eucharistic service on August 6th. Then we're going to get back into it with our fourth session, Jesus' miracles, and then that's the second of his five books of Jesus, the missionary discourse. Then we go into Jesus Rejected and book three, the parables of the kingdom. Then we have miracles, controversies of the cross, and book four, the advice to the church, and then we have the Olivet Discourse. That's really quite interesting, as opposed to the rest of them. No, not really. And then finally, we have Jesus' Passion and Resurrection as told by Matthew. Okay, so let's get into the infancy narrative. We talked about this a little when we talked about the four iconic creatures that represent the evangelists. When we talked about how each gospel begins, John, as the eagle, starts off soaring above all this nonsense, and he starts off with, "In the beginning was the Word," and he is pre-creation, incarnate Word, and then he just goes right into John the Baptist preaching. Okay, we have Luke, who starts off with Zechariah and in the temple and the angel of the Lord appearing to Zechariah. We have Mark, who, like a lion roaring in the wilderness, starts off with John the Baptist. But we have, with Matthew, we start off with this genealogy, okay? And then he goes into this infancy narrative where he talks about the birth of Jesus. Only Luke and Matthew have what we call an infancy narrative. Now, you may think it's a bit of a misnomer that it doesn't describe the two chapters particularly well, because it's not necessarily about Jesus as an infant, especially when it comes to Luke, because when you're talking about Luke, it has to do with Jesus as a young boy when he's found in the temple. When the Holy Family goes to Jerusalem for one of the feasts, and they leave him there and come back like a week later and he's still in the temple talking with the rabbis and parenting fail. Anyway, he's like 10, 11, 12 in there, so it's really not appropriate to call it, an infancy story, but those passages are still referred to as the infancy narratives, okay? So, this is all part of the infancy narrative. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Matthew and chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Luke are called the infancy stories. And chapter 1, verse 1 of Matthew begins, "The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Okay? Now, interesting little bit here, lesson in Greek. The word genealogy is genesis, or Genesis. The word means both origin, birth, lineage, or even source. Okay? So, it's not appropriate to talk about the creation of Jesus because he's God. That's not really appropriate. It's you know, we might say the lineage of Jesus, the sort of family history, the origin maybe. But once we get into the genealogies, Matthew begins with Abraham and follows this pattern. A begat B, B begat C, C begat D. Matthew starts with Abraham, ultimately ends with Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. Verse 16. Okay? Starts with Abraham, works his way down to Jesus. Okay, this becomes a little significant here in a little while. We can see here, this nice little infographic here, Matthew divides it up into three, let's call them columns. They're groups. We've got it divided up into columns here. The first column is Abraham to David. We'll call it the patriarchs. The second column is Solomon to Jechonias. And that is Solomon to the carrying away into exile. And the third column is the exile until Christ. Okay? And if you look, you can see that it's 14 generations each time. Isn't that interesting? 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to Babylon, and 14 generations from Babylon unto the Christ. Okay. Well, that's just clever. What are we to make of that? All right. Stick with me, buddy. Okay. In Hebrew, each letter is assigned a numeric value. Okay? So, the first letter, Aleph, is assigned the letter value of 1. Okay? The second letter, Bet, has the numeric value of 2. The third letter, Gimel, has the value of 3. We're only going to do this to 6, don't worry. The fourth letter, Dalet, has the value of 4. The fifth letter, Hey. 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 There we go. Has the value of 5. And the sixth letter, Vav, has the numeric value of 6. Okay? So, just like Roman numerals, they use I, V, X, C, D, all sorts of other letters. Okay? These are the values of the... Now, if we had the time and the enthusiasm and all that, which we don't, to go through the entire alphabet, we could show you the whole thing, which we don't. If you incidentally have an NIV, anybody have an NIV? Okay. If you have an NIV, go to Psalm 119. And every 8 verses, you'll get a little heading that says, you know, this is the Aleph verses or the Bet verses, because Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem where every 8 verses starts with the first letter of the alphabet, then the second letter of the alphabet, then the third letter of the alphabet. Well, it does that in Hebrew. It's nowhere near that in English translations. But what they do is they give you a little Aleph, and then at verse 9, they give you a little Bet, and then at verse 10, or what is it, verse 17, they give you a little Gimel, etc. So you can see all the little letters, and it gives you the name of them. Okay, so with that, we have Dalet, Vav, Dalet. Okay? Which, if we're have a really good short-term memory, we might know means DVD. Which, more than being a slightly old-school way of watching your discs, is also the Jewish name for David. Okay? They're really kind of tricky about their consonants, okay? The way they did it originally, their vowels. Their vowels were something that they put in, it's kind of an afterthought, and their consonants were the real core of their language. The vowels they added later, so the root of their language was their consonants. So, Dalet, Vav, Dalet was the root of the word David, and that has the numeric value of 464, which anyone can tell you has the total numeric value of 14. So, the numeric value of David is 14. Light bulb, please. Remember that in Hebrew there is no comparative or superlative adjective case. Right? That means there's not a good, better, or best. There is not a fast, faster, or fastest. If you want to say something is faster, you say it is fast, fast. If it is the fastest, you say it is fast, fast, fast. If you want to say something is holiest, you say it is holy, holy, holy. Which is why the angels in heaven do not cry out that the Lord is holiest. They cry out that he is holy, holy, holy. Right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Right? The angels are crying out in their Hebrew that the Lord is the holiest of them all. Okay? Now, the arrangement of the genealogy shows that Jesus is David, 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 or Davidic, Davidic, Davidic. He is the most David-like possible. Of course, he should be, because David was the root of the Messiah, right? He would be the son of David. He would reclaim the throne of David. He would establish the kingdom of God, okay? That genealogy was there to show this is the son of David. This is the heir to the throne of David. This is the heir to the kingdom of David. This is he who David said, one who comes after me is greater than I am. All right? This is the Messiah. This genealogy is not just a list of names. It's not just a list of names that are cleverly arranged in a way to have a real nice sort of symmetry about them. It really points to the Davidic identity and the messianic identity of Jesus. Okay? This is one of those things we talk about as the Jewish audience of Matthew. Okay? A pagan audience is going to blow right through that. And it's going to have no clue. But to a Jewish audience that sees 14, 14, 14, they're going to go, okay? All right, so there's another wrinkle in the genealogy, however, and that is that Matthew and Luke's genealogies don't really line up. They don't line up for a couple of reasons. So let's see. What are the differences? One, Matthew, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, etc. Luke, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, etc. So, back up. With Matthew, it starts with dad and works its way down. Abraham produces Isaac, produces Jacob. With Luke, it's Jacob is the son of, who is the son of, who is the son of. So it starts with junior and works its way up. Okay, so they're going backwards. So of course there's going to be some awkwardness, even if they are saying the same thing. It's going to be backwards. All right, number two. Matthew begins with Abraham and works his way down. Luke begins his way up. All right, Luke begins with Jesus and works his way up to Adam. Matthew begins with Abraham and works his way down to Jesus. So Luke gives a much longer narrative. All right, number three. All right, starting after David, Matthew traces Jesus' lineage through Solomon, and Luke traces it through Nathan. Okay, so when we look at this in just a second, you'll see that when they get to Abraham, their genealogies are the same, reverse order, but the same. After David, one goes through Solomon, and the other goes through Solomon's brother Nathan. So they're not talking about the same part of the family tree, which would give everybody a major, major case of heartburn. And there wasn't some way to explain it. And the best explanation is that somebody is talking about, and actually the explanation is that Matthew is tracing the paternal line and is talking about Joseph's lineage, and excuse me, Luke is talking about Mary's lineage and that they were related way back in. Okay, now this is so many generations back that there's nothing to, you know, break a sweat over, but let's not get verklempt here. But they are, one is a matrilineal genealogy and the other is a patrilineal genealogy. One is the father's line, one is the mother's line. Let's look at the next line. You can see up top, it's kind of small print, but you've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Perez, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab, Nashon, etc., 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 Obed, Jesse, David. And then it goes paternal line or patrilineal, and on Luke's side you have the maternal line. And then it goes down, and incidentally, then you get down to where they both have the same ancestor again in Shealtiel and Zerubbabel, which was right about the when they came back from exile. Then you have complete digression. No commonality at all until you get to the very end. And then they start talking about the same people, but you have another discrepancy. And there's all sorts of different ways of explaining it. One of them is that you had a levirate marriage where it says that this is Joseph's father, but it really wasn't Joseph's father because Luke said this guy is the guy who actually biologically sired Joseph. So clearly that would be his father. But what happened to the Jewish mind is that Joseph's father died without having a child, and so the closest relative went to his widow and performed his duty of raising up a child for them. But rather than giving credit to the man who biologically sired the child, Matthew said, this is a child by Joseph's father. And so that would explain the difference in the genealogy. Okay, so that would explain the difference in the genealogical records, because Matthew said, you know, much along the lines of the kind of thing that you have happen in Ruth, right? This was something where I will be the kinsman redeemer kind of thing. Anyway, so there we go. Number four, this is a really interesting difference. Matthew includes five women in the genealogy of Jesus, and Luke, ironically, includes none. I say this is ironic because Luke is a very pro-woman writer, okay? For the ancient world, for the time he was writing in, Luke is very, very thumbs up for women. Women have a very prominent role in Luke's gospel. He was very, very feminist about two millennia before it was cool. Okay, but he doesn't include any. It's a was a son of, 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 from Adam all the way down to Jesus. Okay, no women. Now, Matthew only includes five, but the five that he includes are really interesting. Let's look at those real quick. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and the Virgin Mary. Now, we might go a little Sesame Street here and say one of these things is not like the other, okay? Because most of these chicks got some issues, all right? I'm using some really just, you know, street slang. Let's see, Tamar was the daughter of Judah daughter-in-law of Judah, whose husband died before he gave her any children, and her father-in-law refused to do the whole levirate marriage thing and give her any children. So she dressed up like a harlot and sat on the side of the road and used the best biblical pickup line ever. In some translations, it is, come into me. And so he did. And that's the story of Judah and Tamar. She has to, like, keep his ring and his staff so that he will, like, give her credit later on. It's a very strange story. It's in Genesis. Rahab was the harlot, the woman of ill repute who conceivably ran the brothel that sheltered the spies who brought down Jericho. Ruth, probably the most reputable of all the ladies in the story, has a whole book named after her, brought the, you know, all of these, I was going to say, you know, part of the line of David and all that, but all these ladies are.